93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. Hi there, it's 12:34. I'm Mary Lynn.
I'm Diane Ducey.
Got some guests in the studio here, but first let me play this little thing for you.
A local woman's emotional journey to find her biological parents. How a new law passed here at the state capitol is helping her, and what the law means for others searching for a birth mother or father they've never known. Tonight at 10 on ABC News Channel 15.
So that was last night at 10 on News Channel 15. That was Kate Springer, their phenomenal anchor and reporter, and videotaped by my sister, who's their chief photographer, Sue, and they're both here with me now. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Thanks
for coming.
That was fantastic, Kate, and what some people may not know is that my sister and I are both adopted from different parents, and so it was really kind of cool, Sue, that you and I got to go through this together, kind of go through this this kind of experience. Now, Sue, my sister knows who her her birth parents are, but okay. I don't. Okay. And so, Kate, what compelled you to do this story? I know that the because of the new law, I'm sure.
Right. The new law was definitely part of it. And Sue and I had talked before about, you know, that she was adopted, that you were adopted. And I've always been intrigued in the story because I think it is a very unique story, the way your family was formed. And so once I heard that this law was passed, you know, my first thought was to you Mary Lynn, because, you know, I knew Sue already knew who her birth parents were, and I thought, I wonder if Mary Lynn's going to look into this. And so, you know, I just kind of said to Sue, if your sister does this, I'd love to talk to her about it. And so that's kind of how we got there.
Right. And so this has been interesting because I've thought about it over the years but never really thought, because like I said on your news story last night, that I've got a great family.
Right.
I've never felt like I'm missing, that there's some missing piece in my life. But, you know, there is curiosity. And as I'm getting older, I think that it's really important to at least if I can get my original birth certificate and see some names on there, I can do some hunting and pecking, and maybe I can actually find out what my medical background is. Mm-hmm. Because I think, Sue, that's something that's difficult for us is, you know, you go to the doctor and they say, hey, what's in your genetic history? And you're like, I don't know.
You know what, though? I actually weirdly kind of miss saying that because I've just said it my whole life, you know? So when I go to the doctor now and they say that, I still kind of don't know. Like, I guess that's one of the things I messed up on, because when I was able to talk to my biological mom, and we had somewhat of a relationship for a while before she died a couple of years ago. I mean, I asked her and she said gout. I mean, okay, so what? She never really said anything really, really major. Like, you know, and she really just kind of died from old age. I mean, not really from any kind of, you know.
Right. Anything.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't like a heart thing.
Right.
Or
It was just a combination of a lot of things.
Right. And now, something that was interesting in the story, Kate, is you talked with with the lawmaker in Springfield who was actually responsible.
Yeah.
For making this law occur so that adoptees could get access to their original birth certificate. And Representative Sarah
Eigenholz.
Okay.
Yep.
I didn't want to say that. I was going to say she's a representative, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. And she's out of Chicago, somewhere up there.
Southside of Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. So, and her story was fascinating. You know, I didn't really know her background before we met with her, but she had a fascinating story and just why she wanted to do it. And in fact, at one point during our interview, she said, you know, she felt like this is her life's work. Like, this is what she was put there to do. So that was interesting.
So, I'm just curious, and I don't know if she answered that question for you or not, but are other states, is it easier for adoptees to get their information in other states or?
And I don't know if this is positive. I believe what she told me is that Illinois is the 10th state. And now she wants to help other states form this law. And she said it's actually a little bit easier to do it in Illinois because of some other previous legislation. So she's looking to help other states draft the same kind of thing and then make it easier for those.
I gotcha. And, you know, the thing that I thought was sad about this whole situation is that this new law has been passed so adoptees can get access to their original birth certificate. And once I do get that original birth certificate, it may or may not have their names because the parents who have given up children for adoption have had some time to have their name redacted if they want to remain anonymous. But the thing that's sad is that thousands of adoptees are taking advantage of this new law, and there's only two people in the state who are
piling
or sifting through all of that paperwork to get it done.
Hmm. Yeah.
So who knows when I'm going to get my paperwork back? I may be too old.
Well, no, they also said, right, yeah, you never know. They also said, they do quote you 6 to 8 weeks, obviously.
Okay.
So we're still hoping that that's true. And the other thing they said is because we don't have centralized records in the state of Illinois, that they have to go to the individual county. And then, so in your case, it would be Will County.
Right, right.
They'll contact Will County, and then they have to go through their records, and that's why it's taking a little bit longer than they had hoped.
Okay. Well, I am keeping my fingers crossed that I get something soon, and I'm going to reach out to you as soon as I do. Here's the fascinating thing about this story is that, you know, I kind of threw it out there on Facebook to let my friends know that I was going to be on the TV. And so many people immediately reached out to me, whether they had a sister and they'd helped her find her her birth father. That was my friend Joni, to my friend Tim, who said my daughter's adopted, to even a woman who reached out to me from Springfield, because this aired on your Springfield sister station as well.
Did you know her?
No. The woman who reached out to me, I did not know, but she has become an advocate for adoptees because, you know, she found out when she was 12, unlike you and I, Sue, who our parents told us from the time we were, before we could even speak or really understand, they had these little books that they would read to us. So that was really nice that it was never a secret for us. But for her, she didn't find out until she was 12. And so she's really become an advocate for adoptees to help them. She's recommended some books for me to read.
Oh, wow.
A woman that I'd never known or would have known otherwise, who just messaged me and felt compelled to reach out to me because of that. To, you know, kids that I went to, not kids anymore, but former high school schoolmates. Thank you.
Yes.
I can talk.
I should be in radio.
I know. You should. But no, you're just in TV. Anyway, reaching out, one of my old schoolmates from grade school, Thomas Franz, I have two adopted kids. I didn't know about this law.
Wow.
Where should I go? And so I've been posting the link for people. So it's been really interesting, all the people who've been reaching out. And I've got a couple of people that we're going to talk with here in the next 20 minutes who also have very unique adoption stories. So if you guys can hang out.
Yeah, we're around.
I'd love to.
Thank God there's no breaking news going on right now, right?
I'm done for the day.
I'm busy right now. I'm on my lunch break.
Yeah, we've got News Channel 15's Kate Springer and Sue Foster here with us. And Diane and Gary O'Brien's going to come in and tell us a very compelling story regarding adoption. And if you have one to share, 359-CALL, 217-359-2255. We're Connect FM. 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM, 1244. Hi there, I'm Mary Lynn. Diane Ducey's with me.
Hello.
As well. There. Hello. Hello. And happy Friday. Talking about a feature story that was on ABC News Channel 15 last night about the new law that's gone through. So if you're an adoptee in Illinois, you can now get access to your original birth certificate, which means that you might be able to learn the names of your birth parents and learn your medical background. And Kate Springer is the uber awesome reporter and anchor over at News Channel 15 who covered it. My sister, the incredible photographer, chief photographer, Camber Girl. You've probably seen her at Fighting Illini basketball games and everything. She's the tall blonde. And I'm kind of the, curvy brunette. So obviously, you know, we're adopted from
some
different.
We look alike.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
some people.
The best part are seeing those kid pictures, and everyone was like, "Oh, I see the resemblance." Nope, no, you don't.
And before we bring Gary O'Brien in with his incredible story about adoption, one thing that you guys noticed when you were covering this story and learning more about it was that there's kind of a generational divide. Can you tell me more about that?
Sure.
I was just going to say the one thing that I noticed was, you know, it seemed like you and I obviously were always proud. We always knew we were adopted and our parents had no problems talking to us about it or whatever. But as we talked to the representative, she made it perfectly clear that it was a shameful thing for her birth mom, for, you know, for her in general. I think that it happens with people who, you know, I would say, I don't know, there's probably about a 10-year difference between, you know, us and her. And I think, like, at that point, I don't know what changed it. But, like, clearly, she was not raised like we were.
And so they have, so there's more of an emotional impact for them.
Yeah, these older people who are finding this stuff out, this is like, oh, my God, it's like the shame's been lifted, you know? Like, I think it's more than just finding out a name at that point. I think it's one, kind of finding out who they are, kind of where they come from. And the other interesting thing I thought was some of those people had different names on their birth certificate. People who have been getting their, yeah. I mean, even ones who were adopted 2-3 days later had different names.
Wow.
So,
yeah. That's right, because now I remember you had texted me and said, hey, just be prepared. There's right. that possibility.
Yeah.
And I guess I just wouldn't think that you would be named if you were going to be given up for adoption.
If you're in the hospital for just a couple of days or something, they probably don't want to be saying, you know, baby Jane.
Baby Z.
Yeah, whatever.
Now, what's interesting about you and me, Sue, is that, you know, we were both adopted as babies. So, you know, there's a lot of kids who, you know, they don't get adopted as a baby and then they grow up in the foster, you know, in the foster system and all of that. And so I've always been so thankful and grateful that we've had that. Gary O'Brien, you actually adopted your son, but he was a teenager.
Teenager, yeah. A lot of my friends, when they found out, said, my gosh, you're so lucky. You bypassed the diaper changing years. And I said, yeah, but I got a teenager.
Right.
So
that's, you know, and bless you for doing that. You know, yeah. I've also often thought if I will adopt at one point in my life, I want to adopt a kid who isn't a baby because I'm really not a baby person anyway. But, you know,
that runs in the family.
But yeah, that does. But I mean, a teenager with, you know, I mean, this is a kid who you know, I think when you're dealing with somebody that old, that you've got to be able to devote all of your time to somebody because there's going to be some issues probably.
Well, yeah, I think that's true with kids of any age, though. Yeah. You know, as a baby, there's a lot of responsibility. As a teenager, there is too, but it's different. First off, I always, growing up, admired people who were foster parents mm-hmm. or who adopted kids. Always did. My parents were foster parents. It drives me crazy when it seems like in the news you only hear about the negative stories when mm-hmm. that's just such a minute.
Hey, you two, do something about that, would you?
Percent. Well, it's just a small, I mean, in any walk of life, there's always a few that don't do what they should. But for most people, people who adopt and people who are foster parents are incredibly wonderful
giving,
people.
Right.
And my parents were foster parents. And Shane was my buddy. And you know, I had reached a point where I was just getting older. A relationship just ended and that I thought we were going to get married actually. And, it just didn't happen. And then there was a full page story in the News Gazette on the Big Brother, Big Sister program. Mm-hmm. It was on a Sunday. Then next Monday, my gosh, I can do this. And so the Big Brother, Big Sister program was pretty new at that time. So I went and signed up and they did all the background checks and tour of the houses. And I've got all kinds of stuff. I could write a book on this whole
thing.
Yeah,
I bet.
But eventually I was matched up with, a kid named Justin, who's an amazing kid. A lot of the people here at the station know him mm-hmm, because he's not shy. He introduced my radio show for 6 years. So, he gets a lot of attention going out and about because of that. But we were in the Big Brother program, and the intent of the Big Brother program, and they will be the first to tell you, is adoption is not a part of what they do. Not mm-hmm. at all. They don't want to scare off anybody. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of spokespeople for them for a while. And then when we got adopted, that stopped because they didn't want college kids or young adults or other people to think that adoption was what they're ultimately looking for. Mm-hmm. So eventually now we're back in, you know, with them doing things. But that's not what the Big Brother program was for. Just that, you know, he needed someone and ends up, I didn't realize it, I needed him too. And we got adopted. We were together for a couple of years. He had challenges at home and didn't have a male role model. And I guess I provided that. It started out once a week, you know, play catch, go see a movie, that
right,
kind
right.
of thing. And then it evolved into a homework night. And then it evolved into phone calls from his mom saying, you know, Justin's got in trouble tonight. Can you come and talk to him or this and that? And he's such a good kid, though. But had challenges in his young life. And I guess I provided some structure, maybe.
Yeah.
And somebody, you know, I went out.
Well, you're his dad.
I was at the, well, this is before that, but I was, But I went away for a conference one time. I was gone for a week. And when I came back, his mom said, don't ever do that again. Justin couldn't stand it. So that was
and,
the early
and, and that's interesting, too, that you've got that relationship with his mom. So it's a very unique circumstance.
As
but
friends.
How long
it's
ago
just,
was that?
2003 we got adopted. He's 22 now. And I look way too young to have a 22-year-old, right?
Yeah, I thought you were 22.
I love your sister.
I'm ever Everybody does.
All right.
One last story that we wanted to share with you. And Gary, I know we talked about Grammys. Well, this woman is a Grammy winner, among other wonderful things. Barbara Hedlund is with us. She's a cellist extraordinaire. And Barbara, you have a very unique story in the sense, and I'm sorry we only have a couple of minutes here to tell this, but you have a very unique story in the sense that you met your birth mother and then you ended up becoming her caretaker. How did that happen?
Well, unexpectedly, this happened 30 years ago, actually. I found my birth parents after a search of a couple of years, and I did it the old-fashioned way with grunt work through libraries and writing letters and with the help of a lawyer and a doctor to try to get paperwork open. At the time, things were not as open as they are now. And this was, of course, I was born in Florida, so all my records were in Florida, which is the closed record state. So it was a lifelong adventure. And when we finally discovered each other, we were friends for 16 years until my mother had a stroke. And by then, my father had passed on. And she had no other children or family to take care of her. So she became my ward.
Wow. That's incredible. And yeah. I guess... I don't even know what to say. That's, you know, I mean, that's some love right there.
Well, it was, you know, I didn't think twice about it. She was a very nice lady. My circumstances of my birth were not horrible. I was a love child. My parents actually stayed together for 38 years before they finally got married after my father's wife died. So it wasn't a horrible experience. It wasn't a story that I was unhappy with the result. Sometimes people do reunite and the results are not so positive, but it wasn't that way for me, and I learned a lot about myself, and I finally learned my medical background for the first time. So for me, it put all the pieces of the puzzle together.
And then you went on to win a Tony, a Grammy. I mean, for heaven's sakes, you're such an underachiever. I can't. An Emmy? I mean, seriously. How do you...
Well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was the drive, but also it was a great fear of my adopted mother that I would turn out badly and I would never amount to anything.
Oh, wow.
And so maybe it was that quest to always, you know, try to get win approval or prove her wrong or a little bit of both. So I don't know.
Just out of curiosity, because this is one thing that I'm curious about. I mentioned this on your news segment, Kate, but... that I was curious if maybe there was some kind of an entertainer in my background or something. So did you find that either of your birth parents were musically inclined?
My mother was an amateur musician. Her sister was a professional musician who had worked at the Roxy Theater and Radio City Music Hall in New York, as did I. So there was a connection there, but we didn't know that until we finally found each other.
Okay. If I find out that my birth father is Howard Stern, I'm gonna freak.
No, that was it.
I'm gonna freak. No.
You know what's interesting about that is that years ago when I was on the Music of Andrew Lloyd Webber tour, one of my colleagues was adopted, and we became friends because of my experience, and they were trying to find out who their parents were, and we worked on it. I actually figured out that he was the love child of the actress Dolores Hart and Elvis Presley.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
And so you never know what you're going to find. You just have to be prepared for whatever when you open Pandora's box.
That's exactly. And that's something that, thank you so much, Barbara, for sharing. I really appreciate it.
And, you're very welcome.
And that's something that our mom and dad, you know, unfortunately our mom has passed, but she had always encouraged us to, if we were going to go through this journey, to go through it with her. And she always warned us, right, Sue?
She did.
It could be good.
Anything.
Could be bad.
But we always like to think it was some celebrity. I know. I
did. Heck yeah.
I bet I was so-and-so, you know.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys. Again, you can go to the News Channel 15 website to see the story. And you could always reach out to me, and I'll be sure to pass on the link to the website where you can get the information that you need to fill out in order to get your original birth certificate.
And thank you for letting us in. We really appreciate it. You know, that was a huge, huge thing for you to let us do the story, and we really appreciate it.
That's all right.
It was fun to do
it with my sister.
It was
all right. 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.